Hello, everyone. Today's passage comes from Luke chapter 17. Again, that's Luke chapter 17. And I'll read that for us. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times, saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in this day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop, with his goods in the house, not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in that night there will be 2 in one bed, one will be taken and the other left. There will be 2 women grinding together, one will be taken and the other left." And they said to him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." Amen. In today's passage, we see Jesus continuing his ministry in teaching and healing. And near the beginning of the chapter, Jesus tells his disciples that if they had faith like a grain of mustard seed, they could tell a tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey. The size of faith doesn't matter nearly as much as the kind of faith they should have, which is a faith placed in an all-powerful God. And directly after this teaching to his disciples, Jesus explains something very interesting, which is kind of where I want to focus on in today's devotional. In verses 7 to 10, Jesus begins to explain the role and interaction between a servant and his master. If you have the ESV translation in front of you, you can see that the title of the subheading of this section reads, Unworthy Servants. And this is actually what Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples, that they are unworthy servants. We are unworthy servants. It sounds a little bit harsh, but this is what Jesus says. Let me just reread this section for us. This is verses 7 to 10. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, Come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Jesus says that when a servant does the work that he is commanded, he shouldn't come back to his master expecting this great reward, expecting glory. When a servant does a task for the master, he has merely done his duty. Of course, this isn't to say that God is some cold, heartless master who doesn't love and reward his servants. We can read in Matthew chapter 25 how a master can also say to a servant, Well done, good and faithful servant. Of course, God loves us. Of course, as our Heavenly Father, God is proud of us and desires to reward us. So then, what is Jesus really getting at here in this passage? Well, we have to remember that right before verses 7 to 10, Jesus was talking to his disciples about mustard seed faith and the great things that can happen with it. And sometimes when we experience great things happen through faith, we can begin to get conceited, to think that somehow we were the ones responsible for the great works God has done, that somehow we are the ones who are to receive credit and glory. And this teaching about unworthy servants seems like a response to that kind of thinking. Again, we know that God loves his children and desires to reward them. However, we must also understand that we are, though God's children, are also unworthy servants. When we do the work that God has commanded us to do, we are simply doing our duty as his servants. If we ever think that because of the work we do, we somehow deserve a reward, that's misunderstanding who we are and who God is. God is the Almighty God, and we are his subjects. Who are we to approach God and dare demand anything from him? Who are we to require the creator of the universe to give us anything? But we are unworthy servants, undeserving of anything. Yet at the very same time, God still decides to shower us with his grace. God has done everything for us already through Jesus on the cross. He has done so much for us already. Every act of obedience on our part is what he rightfully deserves. It is our duty. This is the key to understanding how and why we serve God. If we serve God thinking that we are to receive a reward for it, I think we've completely missed the point. When we truly understand how much God has done for us already, obeying his command and doing the work he requires of us becomes a no-brainer. It says in John chapter 1, For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. It is our duty to obey him as his subjects who received undeserved, unmerited, infinite grace. In the best way possible, we are God's unworthy servants. What an honor to be so. Let's pray. God, you are so good. You are unfathomably great, mighty, deserving of all glory and honor. you are indescribably greater than mankind. So who are we to approach you with anything, let alone your grace? We are your unworthy servants. And if we have forgotten this in any way, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. If we have expected glorious reward, we ask for your forgiveness. Who are we to demand something from our Almighty God? And yet, God, you still show us grace. As we live our lives wholly dedicated as your servants, we ask that you humble us, remind us of the reason why we serve. Lord, you deserve our all. You deserve everything we have. What a privilege, God, it is to be completely yours. May we continue to have this joy and wonder of living for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.